The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Division is when we do not say the same thing. And this thing, which we say differently, is a fundamental one, not simply an opinion on who will win the World Cup. The separation can take various shapes. It can be emotional, psychological, spiritual, physical. But it boils down to this: we no longer say the same things. And division is poisonous. It kills. A divided army is an easy target. A divided country is easily swayed. And a divided household cannot stand. Sometimes, sadly, division is the norm. Some of us know no different, having grown up in a divided society, a divided household. But sometimes division can come where once union was found, ties are cut, relationships ended, friendships dissolved. Nonetheless, division hurts. Division is painful. Like arrows, dozens of them piercing your heart, and not like Cupid. Division can kill. "For I have come to set a man against his father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." From Jesus this morning. Division. Remember, division is when we cease to say the same thing. So when Jesus comes and teaches about his father and about himself, and comes, giving himself entirely for us, there is bound to be division. But why would he do that? Jesus comes first to divide us. Listen carefully. Jesus has come first to tear from us everything that keeps us from him, separating us from the sins we sometimes wish to cling so closely to. Once we are washed clean, he keeps us in his word by remaining in us always and forever, separated from sin and evil. This then leads us to be set aside by Jesus from all things that are evil and sinful. And sometimes this hits close to home, too close. And Jesus is not afraid to say things that hit close to home. So we should not be afraid to hear it. Families fight when they cease to say the same thing. What is that same thing? Can we press toward that? Can we pray for it? Hope for it? Strive for it? This is what Jesus wants to hear from you and from me, saying it all together. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It is the ultimate confession that Jesus is Lord and Christ and Son of God, and that you and I are nothing but sinful and poor. And we, in one voice, plead for mercy. It levels the ground we stand on and exalts only Jesus. And that level ground that declares us sinners pleading for mercy makes us one. It unites us instead of dividing us. All of us together in need of saving, rescuing, in need of love. So maybe this is what provokes the division that Jesus speaks about. The insistent demand of ours that we need Christ in him alone. The cry that unites you with your brother can also be the cry that divides. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. This is a powerful ask when two are saying it together. It unites you, for you have the same Lord. And it unites you in your shared helplessness. But it can cause division when you cannot name the same Lord. Perhaps I've got better lords, and I'm not helpless on my own. A sad division. And division is what Jesus hates the most. And only in Christ can we be one. One body, his body. So how can I bring my mother back into that body so that she too says what Jesus says? Well, you can't. And that is a very difficult thing to accept. Because it really is the work of the Lord and of the Spirit. Because I too could not confess that Jesus is my Lord were it not for the Spirit who called, enlightened, and made me his. But Jesus' instructions for us is simple in today's gospel. Perhaps not simple, but definitely clear. Take up your cross and follow me. This is his answer for how we are to be at peace. because the cross is the ultimate confession that you are not your own Lord, for you have no servants to bear that cross for you. And the cross is also the confession that you are not the master of your life. You can't tell storms to cease or waves to calm. And when you do take up your cross, it is Jesus whom you follow, not anybody else, not even yourself. Following Jesus with our crosses means that we walk a way made by Him, the way. It means that whatever we encounter, He will have encountered first and overcome. And whatever happens to Him happens to you, so you too will overcome. Taking your cross and following Him does two things: testimony and obedience. You and your cross show everyone else that you in fact do have a master, and that you will walk like Him and talk like Him and live like Him, mirroring Him. See how they love one another? And the cross also shows that you cannot figure it out on your own, that you and I are totally submissive to Him, to Jesus, meaning that He is in charge and I can throw at Him everything, everything I cannot fix, including the fact that there's division in my family and yours. So Jesus has brought a sword and He's ready to use it. He would like nothing better than to separate us from all that keeps us away from His cross, to make the body whole again by cutting out evil. But something's got to give. The sword only works if it can do its job. And we can only let it work when we let go of what we hold on to so dearly. Allow the sword to cut to unrecognizable pieces all the things that keep you far from peace and from the cross. And Jesus' sword does bring a blessed division. It divides us from everything that keeps us away. And when we are away, we keep from saying what He wants us to say. So Jesus promises us that He hears our prayers. He hears us when we plead for unity. So we give our family and friends completely to Him, carrying them to Jesus. He will take care of them just as He took care of you and of me. He knows how to take care of them better than you do. That means that you don't have the weight or responsibility to change them, to make them who you want them to be. It is not up to you. And not having that responsibility frees you up to do beautiful things, like praying. And we are people of hope, people who hope against the seemingly impossible, a hope that sprung up when the Lord sprung out of His tomb, even after being nailed to His own cross for you. So we do not lose hope for those who do not yet speak in the way that Jesus speaks. We give ourselves over to Jesus because He first gave Himself over to us. And throughout this morning, He has not ceased from reminding us of that. The life-giving liturgy that fills you and strengthens you to speak unity, to speak as a body to confess all together, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And mercy he has had on you and on me. Revel in his gifts, the true peace and the true reward. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.